This time on episode 253 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Legion, Chapter 16, weekly Marvel news, and your feedback. I'm Michelle.
I'm Chris.
And I'm SP from the Starling Tribune,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeek.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, September 9th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astral plane wide in the desert via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Teddy Bear Day!
Yay!
Yay!
So I don't have any teddy bears with me, but I do have a porg, a llama, and a dragon.
I have an Elmo.
Ah.
I still have my teddy bears from childhood, but they're in the other room.
Yeah.
Teddy bears, childhood, great memories. Actually, I don't know if my kid, you know, my kids, well, they have a, girls have a ton of stuffed animals, but no teddy bears.
I had a bunny that I got the day I was born. I still have that. And I had this giant teddy bear named Boone. He was dressed in a beekeeper's costume. And he had this big hat. And my parents used to put that hat on me when I was a baby if I had to go outside to keep the sun off of me, because I burn like bacon.
Which is not a good thing in Texas.
Nope.
All right. Well, there is a savior note of teddy bears. Oh, if you have a story about teddy bears, please let us know, and we'll talk about it in the next episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the meantime, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is in the middle of a really long hiatus right now. The multiple Marvel Netflix series, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel comic book universes in general.
Because of parachuting into the desert to smack your boyfriend.
If you'd like to talk to us about your experiences parachuting in the middle of the desert for an argument, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail about your experiences parachuting into fights at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You share your parachuting experiences with us on Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tell us about your experiences in jumping out of a perfectly good plane on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can leave us video of you, or you can see our videos, I guess. You can't leave us videos. But at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
If you have an Amazon device, you can tell it to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
All right, two things. First of all, she parachuted out of a perfectly good fighter jet. Not just, you know, your normal airplane. It was a fighter jet going really, really fast. So that's a lot of wind resistance to jump out of one of those. And I'm guessing she didn't jump, she ejected, but I don't know for sure. They didn't really show it. They just showed a jet moving really, really fast. And then she came over there. And then the second thing I'd like to point out is I think we can term this as in domestic disagreement terms. What do you think?
Domestic dispute.
Yep, that could be one too.
Yeah, don't hit your significant other, people.
That would be bad. However, I think she was a little justified.
Use your words.
We'll get to it. Yeah, use your words. We'll get to it.
That's good. All right. Yeah, let's get to it right now, and we'll get in the main event of Legion, Chapter 16. Legion, Chapter 16, aired Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018, on the FX network and earned a 0.40 9 rating. Legion was renewed for a third season a couple weeks later on June 1st, 2018. Lauren, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Jeremy Webb, who has 31 directing credits starting from 1997, including 9 of Casualty, which is a British hospital drama, 2 of Doctor Who, 15 of Merlin, 2 of Downton Abbey, 2 of Atlantis, 2 of Elementary, 1 of Fear the Walking Dead, 2 of Punisher, 1 of Runaways, this episode of Legion, and 2 of Colony.
And Colony, from what I remember, is now canceled, right? It did not...
I believe so. Yeah. Oh, also 7 episodes of Turn, Washington Spies, which I've heard was really good and I need to watch. 5 of Masters of Sex. Woo! So yeah, guys, no slouch. Oh, and 2 episodes of the upcoming Umbrella Academy that I'm really, really, really hyped about.
Is that based in England?
No, it's based on a comic series written by Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. But it's a really highly acclaimed comic series about people with powers. And if you haven't read it, you should check it out. And it's kind of been rumored that they've been trying to make it into a show for a while. And I believe I forget if it's Hulu or Amazon that picked it up. But it's worth checking out.
All right. One of them streaming services. So, Michelle, who wrote this episode of Legion?
Well, as usual, it was written by Noah Hawley, who is the creator of the show. And also written by Jordan Greer. Has one writing credit, which is this Legion. But Jordan was script coordinator for 13 episodes of Legion, 10 of Fargo, and 13 of Outsiders. And Noah did Fargo. He was a producer on that. So it seems as though this is someone that Noah has known for quite a while and has finally given the shot to write.
That's interesting. This is one of the few episodes that was not the normal team for the co-creators of the show, Noah and I remember the other co-creator. Can't remember it off the top of my head, but this is one of the few that they weren't, although both were involved in all of them and the writing credits this year. Let's move on to the theme of the episode. And oftentimes we equate the theme to the title of the episode, which in this case is chapter 16. So Haley, what does chapter 16 mean?
I'd like to start by saying I'm really impressed with how creative they've been with their episode titling for the entirety of this series. Like, they really clearly put a lot of thought into tying the title of the episode into the themes of the show. And not every show does that, so I really appreciate that.
I know. It's like Defiance. They put a lot of effort and work into those titles, so I really appreciate the titles of the Defiance episodes. And this is just amazing. I don't think it can ever be duplicated.
No.
Which is a little confusing because this is not the 16th episode of the second season. This is just the
16th episode of the entire show.
Well, yeah, but it's like the 9th episode of season 2. And you got to hand it to them. They were so busy writing the show that they couldn't come up with the titles, probably. I think that's what it was. So, Michelle, we often talk about the highlights of the episode. In this particular case of Legion, we have been delving, especially season 2, we've been delving into the lessons of the episode. So what is the lesson of this episode?
At the beginning of the episode, there's a Mego Monk adage, to create fear, hold up a mirror. But later on, we get a full lesson, which is the delusion that other people don't matter. And it starts off with a cave where there are people who are living in the cave. They never see the outside world. They only see it as shadows projected onto the wall. And in this case, the people are real, but to them, the real world is just shadows. And if they actually saw it, they wouldn't be able to comprehend it.
I wanted to butt in real quick. This is actually a thing. This is called Plato's Allegory of the Cave. Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to our present world, with computers and cell phones. And it goes, now, what if instead of being in a cave, you were out in the world, except you couldn't see it because you weren't looking, because you trusted that the world you saw through the prism was the real world, because there's a difference. You see, unlike the allegory of the cave, where the people are real and the shadows are false, here other people are the shadows, their faces, their lives. This is the delusion of the narcissist who believes that they alone are real. Their feelings are the only feelings that matter because other people are just shadows and shadows don't feel because they're not real. But if everyone lived in caves, then no one would be real, not even you, unless one day you woke up and left the cave. How strange the world would look after a lifetime of staring at shadows. And it did a lot of images, not only of people looking at their cell phone, but of course, internet people who just do internet comments. They just see video after video and they don't really see the people behind it. And those awful comments.
Yeah, I'm of two minds about this. On the one hand, I do believe that a lot of cyberbullying and a lot of the problems that we find with internet behavior is because people don't view the people on other end as real. In fact, a lot of the problems that people have when they're like, okay, I'm being harassed online is, well, why don't you just get off the computer? And it's like, this is where I conduct my business. You don't understand. And people think that the internet isn't a real place. People think that whatever happens on the internet isn't real. When the things that you say, the things that you do there do and can have real world consequences, like doxing somebody or swatting somebody. But at the same time, I really don't like when people are like, oh, all these people, they just need to look up from their cell phones and stuff. When the fact that we are more connected than ever, I think, is a good thing, particularly in communities that are housebound, are largely housebound, like the disabled communities. The fact that people are being able to see communities that they never would have had experience in. The fact that something like Ferguson was such a thing when before people would have been kind of insulated from it. People say, oh, that's not the real world. We are seeing stuff that is the world outside of our little sphere. So I'm of two minds about this whole thing.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, we're entering in the age where you have a lot of artificial intelligence-based bots that are actually chatting back and forth. They could do anything from trolling to doxing to swatting, like you were saying, to just communicating with you, and they're not real people. So you do have to watch out with stuff like that, and I don't know how that's going to progress in the next few years, but that is a thing. And then also, you mentioned the event of Ferguson, so I was glad that that was brought to the attention of the entire nation. However, because it was in the national spotlight, you did have some additional outside forces which rallied to that point, both good and bad. And I don't necessarily think that that is something that you can take an isolated community anymore, because if anything like that happens, you do have outside influences that come. Matter of fact, wasn't there a like event in Charlottesville, Virginia recently that was like that too, where you had outside influences that came in and it was publicized and you had additional outside influences for the bad that came in? So that wasn't really great.
Yeah, you're always going to have people who just kind of want to come to cause chaos. But it's not the internet that does that. It's people hearing, here's going to be a thing. Let's go cause trouble at thing, whether it's a house party or a political event. One thing that I do wish that they had covered that I think is a bit more akin to the allegory of the cave, it's more along the lines of echo chambers. When you were being fed the information of not everything that's happening, but only specific things that are happening, and you are being shown that this is how the world is like, whether it's anti-vaxxers or only the certain news or only the certain information, you go outside and you look and you immediately discard any information that counteracts that because, well, this isn't what I heard. And I think that's more akin to the allegory of the cave where you look and you're like, well, no, that's not like it is there. And anybody who's tried to argue with somebody where, well, that's not what I read on the internet. I have gotten into so many arguments with people in disability communities because people are so desperate for a cure to their pain. So they're putting their trust in these really dangerous cure-alls. And I'm like, no, look, here's the information that says why this is a bad idea, why blood type diets aren't a thing, why this specific thing isn't a thing, why goop is a bad idea. And they're like, well, that's not what I read on the internet, and we're going to ban you for being negative. It's like,
or being called intolerant because you present facts against a supposedly fact-based argument that is just based on hogwash.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually blocked on Twitter by somebody, and it was nothing to do with politics or anything like that. But I was blocked by somebody just by saying, this is the facts. And then boom, I was blocked. I was like, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I guess that happens. Anyway, so this lesson of the episode was very timely and astute to a modern society. I'm not sure if this would have meant the same thing.
I believe there was probably, I won't say who, but a specific target that was in mind using the term narcissism. That's all I'll say about that.
By the way, if you have ever met a narcissist, if you've ever been raised by a narcissist, I'm lucky enough not to have been, but there's a whole subreddit called Raised by Narcissists or something like that. I am very sorry because these people will make everything all about them. I read a lot about true crime, and a lot of crimes are committed by narcissists. Not all people with narcissistic personality disorder, but there's a lot of people who, because they think they are the most important person in the room, they're the only real person in the room, and that's kind of an excuse to go around hurting people. It's not just murder or violence or something. It's something as simple as just making your day miserable at work.
My days at work are miserable a lot just for other factors. I don't need any additional factors coming in to do that. At the beginning of the episode, there was, and this is kind of rare because they actually flashed it in text on the screen. It was the Migo Monk adage, quote, to create fear, hold up a mirror, unquote. And I think this was foreshadowing what we've all been kind of seeing coming with this. Full disclosure, Michelle has actually seen this entire series. The rest of us are only up to date to this specific episode, chapter 16. So we don't know how this actually ends, but I think we're seeing where this is going. The fact that David could be the embodiment of fear.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about how he might be the big bad of this season or even of the series. And Farouk is just, he's a red herring for the possible badness that we might see from David.
Right. And watching this episode, you have the whole thing with future Sid that was going on and impacted current Sid's relationship with David, but also you had him actually coming up with a plan that seems like he is got everybody's best interests at heart, and he's actually going to win against Farouk and be able to save the world. Although that's kind of in doubt for what he talks with current Sid on the stairs. Michelle, you want to shed some light on all that?
Well, David gets the information from Ptolemy about where the body is, and it's him thinking that he is the most important person. This is part of the cave lesson, that he is the only one that can really go up against Farouk. He is the only one that can create this plan. And therefore, he leaves Sid again, which is important because if you go back to the beginning of the series, he's talking to Sid, I will never lie to you. I won't leave you again unexpectedly. But here he is lying again, leaving her unexpectedly. And this is where, because we're three episodes from the end. So this is the start of the end game. If you do look at his little plan and everything, it's really interesting how you see the flashes of the plan. You see all the little figures and everything. This is him saying, I've got control. I know what to do. He does and he doesn't. I'm just going to say that.
We do see that in the execution of the plan, there are mitigating factors that have already started to filtrate through. When Clark tries to go off and execute his part of the plan, he gets sidelined. And that is under the duress that is attributed to Farouk and Oliver. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, it's Farouk acting through Oliver, and then...
Well, it's... Okay, the Melanie situation... This episode ends with her hitting Clark and everything, and you rewind to her in her room holding, you know, her drug elephant. You will learn in an upcoming episode, because it's not Farouk, because it's Oliver. Oliver says she's mine. And then he goes, oh yeah, ours.
But then he says mine again.
And yeah, he says mine again. So that is important.
Okay.
It's interesting. The Melanie situation will be explained.
I hope so, because that was a dangling participle at the end of the episode. And I'm, even though we got a little bit of backstory into it after it had happened, I was sure that we hadn't seen the entire story on it as well. Now, this, I guess, is a good time to talk about David and Sid and their relationship and what's going on, including the parachute in as we led into the episode into the desert. Haley, why don't you explain a little bit about the Sid-David relationship in this episode?
So, like Michelle said he wouldn't leave again, and then he did that exact thing. He left a note this time. It said, I love you.
Nice shaped envelope, by the way.
Progress. And then we get into something that probably bothered a lot of people on this, where Sid starts hitting him because she's mad. Don't do that. Don't hit people because you're mad. Talk to people. You can be mad without hitting somebody. Being an adult, it sucks. You have to do it.
But how is he going to learn his lesson if he keeps doing it?
Get a spray bottle?
Yeah.
Better apple in there.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't work on my cat. He's jumping up and knocking things over, and he has not learned, and I'm trying everything.
It will. I haven't had to do it in a while. It will work eventually on my cat, but for a while, I get a defiant, like, eyeballing me and yelling at me while I'm spraying him.
See, the cats have wills of their own on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, use your words. That's not appropriate. Yeah. You know, if a man did that to a woman, we would be like, well, don't do that. Well, guess what? The reverse is true.
Yeah. Because
you're a woman, you know, you should not just be smacking up somebody.
Yeah. Don't hit people. It's not funny. It's wrong. Just don't hit people.
She obviously is frustrated with him and possibly completely disagrees with him. And it was interesting that scene came on the heels of the girl talk between Sid and Clark. And she didn't come out of that like she was the full-fledged girlfriend of, and they had a healthy relationship that we started the season.
They don't have a healthy relationship.
Right. But they were portraying it that way, at least towards the end of last season and after he came back at the beginning of this season. This has been building for quite some time.
And she says that line again about love is what we are fighting for. That's why we're doing this war, so love can still survive. And she actually says, I don't think David's doing that anymore.
Right. I think David's focused on getting Farouk, honestly. I mean, it seems to be the key to what he wants to have happen. And he's still mad over the whole Amy thing. I mean, that pushed him. His sister is now, and that's kind of weird too. I saw in the previews a little bit about what's going to happen in the next episode, but Lenny basically took over Amy's body and David's mad at that. And that's been his motivation ever since it occurred. We've been through at least 3, if not 4 episodes on that whole arc here.
Yeah. We started out with him angry at Farouk because he was a parasite in him. But it seems like it got really personal. And then, yeah, you know, he's a danger to the world. Okay, that's a big abstract thing. But it got really personal when he basically killed Amy, which I find interesting that he took that more personally than the fact that he was a parasite in his own body. But yeah, it seems like that's when he's kind of, I'm not going to say losing it, because he's not. But he's gotten a lot more focused about it and a lot more driven to do something about it.
And I want to point out something's going to happen, but I'm going to remind you that David's adopted, so they're not blood related. Yeah. So when you see certain things happen, just please remember that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. See, that I'm pretty sure I know what you're alluding to. And that always bothers me when they have people that were raised as siblings and then decide that they're not going to remember that they've been raised as siblings their entire life. Like the Flash.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that has a problem with that.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that one up too, but yeah, it's a different dynamic, especially with modern families where you do have so much divorce and combining families back and forth, it's seen a lot more today than it used to be.
Yeah. And there's a difference between, you know, these two people became step siblings when they were 17. Like, okay, yeah, you don't have a sibling relationship with that person. But if it's somebody you were raised your entire life believing was your sibling, that's different.
Yeah, not going to argue. Yeah. Okay. So there's two more things that I want to talk about, at least with this episode. And the first is we got to go back to Ptolemy, because we were alluding to the fact that Ptolemy actually gave David a location of the monk's body. However, he's learning how to adapt and live inside the machine, which is the central computer for D3.
Okay, I loved that whole sequence of him in there and seeing, because we find out that it's the Admiral's brain. So he's able to see the Admiral's memories of how he became this. Like, he was just this normal 17-year-old kid. And somebody came to him and was like, hey, you're special. We want to make it so that you're telepath proof. You're gifted. And they do this surgery on him and start plugging him into stuff. And it's kind of horrific. And that's when we see this nurse reading to him that I think she becomes the old woman that we see later. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting visually because, again, everything about this show is interesting visually.
Yeah, we not only see that the Fukuyama has an ability to interface with machines and keep secrets and have a great memory and that sort of thing, but we also find out his basically superpower is that he has rapid healing.
Yeah, which was another reason they chose him for this. It was kind of like Weapon X, but
yeah, all of that was very much like Wolverine. We're going to take you because you have this super healing power and do horrible experiments on you to turn you into the weapon we need.
Yeah, which, oh God, I felt so bad for him. She's reading him the story. I wish I could remember it because I wanted to look it up. But she's reading him a story. So he's following along these electrical wires and he goes into this little room that says janitor, and the monk's in there and he's kind of stuck to the ceiling.
Yeah, we find out that one of the reasons why he broke in was to interface with this machine, the computer Fukuyama, basically, and that some of his memory essence is left in there. He's not still alive. It's just memory essence. At least that's how they explained it on the show. Or did I get that wrong?
No, because Ptolemy says, you know, I'm in the machine, and is being in the machine still alive? Because the bodies are gone if you're in there.
Yeah, he's trying to adapt to what he has now become. And I don't think there's any going back from this. I think his body is actually deceased. It's a comic book show, so anything could happen. But I think in this show, we progress through things like that. We don't return. But that's just my two cents. Also, we have Ptolemy actually taking over a Vermilion, which is his way of interacting with the world around him. And I think that's pretty neat that he's able to do that. I don't know where that's going in the future, if this is a one-time thing, but this is now a power of his, and we'll see actually how that entails in the future. But that was kind of freaky, taking over one of the Vermilions, and then David's like, is it really you? And David starts to trust him.
Also, this is the first time that somebody knows that he's in the machine now, isn't it? Like, everyone thinks he's dead.
Right.
And I love the kind of voice overlay thing, because we already have kind of the multi-tone voice of the Vermilion. And then I thought I heard, I don't know if I was making it up in my head, but I thought I heard Ptolemy's voice layered onto theirs.
I did too.
Okay. Not just me. Good. And I thought that was really cool. And again, just the visuals for how he's interacting with the computer, I thought were great. Him just like kind of putting his hand on it and the flashing lights. One thing that I'm really, really loving about every Noah Hawley show that I've seen is they're so stylish. The music choice is great. The wardrobe choice is great. And again, because so much of this show is of the mind, you have to make it interesting. And whereas I think some other shows would have this just be a control room or something, no, it's a maze. It's a warehouse. It's more organic feeling. because it's also somebody's brain, essentially.
Yeah, it wasn't just one big, huge server farm. It was actual corridors and discrete rooms and stuff like that, where you would think in a human brain that memories would be associated with different places in the brain, and that's kind of what's happening here. Also, Lenny does escape. I think she was aided in her escape by David letting certain things happen throughout the complex. So Lenny is escaping and escapes on a motorcycle, which was pretty cool. And then something that was just really weird to me, and Michelle, you said, you know, hey, pay attention to the Minotaur. We get the Minotaur back upside down at the very end of the episode. So I think that's signifying something going on with Melanie, but I don't know.
I don't want to give too much away. I think I gave a few hints. I don't want to give away anymore.
Fair enough. It did look like a scarier, thinner Minotaur, though.
Oh, I love the design of this Minotaur so much. It's skeletal. It has like plants on it. I love this design so much.
It kind of reminds me of like the way the demons and things were designed in Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. God, the first season of that show was so good.
Agreed.
We don't talk about the rest of the show.
Agreed.
So I was looking up what a lay de sol meant, and of course it's like desolate. That's one of the terms. Yeah. Another meaning, though, is it means sorry. So that's kind of interesting that it could mean an apology.
So. Yes. Also, when they're driving through and Oliver's reciting a poem, it's the beginning of America by Allen Ginsberg. And the poem, it's really long, but it's kind of worth reading. Allen Ginsberg's not one of my favorites, but one of those
interesting reads.
Yeah, I was reading it before this, and it's very, on the surface, things are one way, and underneath, they're another.
Okay. That's definitely one of the basis of the show, whether we realize it or not. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this all pans out. I mean, we're so invested at this point, made it through 16 chapters, looking for the final three to get done. We'll talk about chapter 17 next week. And in the meantime, if you want to listen to other geeky stuff that is not Legion based, Michelle, what would you recommend to people?
Well, we are part of the GonnaGeek.com network. We have over 20 shows. One of them is the Starlight Tribune, which is a CW Network Arrow television show fan podcast. In the episode season 6.5 edition, Here I Go Again, episode 206, the Starlight Tribune reporter, Stargate Pioneer, Michelle and Chris review the Legends of Tomorrow season 3, episode 11, Here I Go Again, and discuss some recent news surrounding the DC Comics-based CW superhero shows. The reporters all enjoy Amy Pemberton on screen as Gideon. They want the Lost Abba Waterloo episode. They want to read Mick Roy's book, When Bebo Meets Buck. They talk what's real and what's simulated. They sympathize with Agent Gary, and they enjoy the time loop montage.
Ooh, time loop montage. Pretty cool. All right, so that's it for the episode. We're going to move on into the news.
The newest season of Iron Fist came out very, very recently, and we're hearing the most unbelievable thing about it, and that is that this season is actually good.
Okay, there is a new showrunner, Raven Metzner, and a new fight choreographer. And remember, the fight choreography was one of the things that we had a huge problem with the last one.
And didn't the showrunner go on to do Inhumans after this?
Scott Buck?
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if Scott Buck is busy on season 2 of the Inhumans.
Yeah, they've kept him busy by making him believe there's a season 2, and that way he doesn't do anything else.
Raven Metzner has been producers for things like Sleepy Hollow, but the 2014 through 2016 episodes. Heroes Reborn, Falling Skies, Daybreak, Clue, Life is Wild, 6 Degrees, and What About Brian? Oh, and he wrote Elektra.
Oh.
Which we have, I think, discussed on the show.
We have. I've liked it, but no, not everybody did.
Some issues.
Yeah.
I don't know what Scott Buck's doing right now. His most recent credit is Inhumans.
I mean, after the first season of Iron Fist and then the Inhumans, do you want him to come run a show for you?
If I'm Disney, I don't.
I'm glad Iron Fist season 2 is getting some good reviews. I've heard some interesting things that happen at the end of the series.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anybody or anything like that. I got curious and I did spoil myself willingly.
Same.
So it does make it interesting that perhaps I'll actually watch this one.
Yeah, I still need to catch up on basically from Punisher onward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched The Punisher yet, which is why I haven't seen anything after it.
Yeah, but it sounds like this is an improvement. I know Andy Mingna has been tweeting his review of every episode as he's been watching them. Honestly, his reviews have been making me kind of hopeful, which is a new thing for me in Iron Fist, the show. Because Iron Fist in the comics is pretty cool. So this has us hopeful for when we inevitably watch it and talk the episodes.
Yeah, we got a ways to get there. We got
a ways to go.
We're starting Punisher in a month here, so we'll start from there.
Now we have some more news about our Netflix Marvel stuff. This one is less good. As most of you probably know, Aretha Franklin passed away recently. And at her funeral, Ariana Grande was there. And I believe the whole internet knows that the preacher up there roped her a little bit and later apologized for it. And Mike Coulter chimed in on it.
Mike Coulter on his Twitter account wrote, he retweeted a picture of Trevor Noah. Well, Trevor Noah said, "What was up with that pastor's hand and picture of him groping her?" And he said, "Now this is how you shoot your shot. Zero F." And then the cry laugh face. And then everyone's like, "What?" And he deleted it and said, "I was being sarcastic. Hello all, I apologize about my tweet earlier. In no way do I condone any such behavior. It was intended to point out the absurdity of the act itself. Complete and biting sarcasm. I realized quickly it was not taken as such. I was at an event all day. Sorry for the delay." Okay, this is the problem with writing stuff. It's really, really hard to indicate sarcasm if you intend to be sarcastic. This is why a lot of people, you will see the, you know, / sarcasm stuff when they are being sarcastic in a comment, because it's really hard to tell just writing it out. I don't know if he's covering, or I don't know if he genuinely meant it that way, but either way, not a good look.
Yeah. The thing you have to do when you're writing things is you have to write it, and then you have to read it, and then you have to read it again without any tone at all and try and figure out how that could be interpreted.
Yeah.
Because it will be interpreted in the worst possible way that it can be.
Yeah. There's a really good book. There's an author I like, John Ronson. He writes a lot about weird stuff, and his most recent book was called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And one of the subjects of the book was a woman named Justine Sacco. And she wrote a tweet that she intended to be just a dumb joke, a dumb, tasteless joke. And she was on a something like 11, 14 hour flight after she tweeted it. Mm-hmm. And it went viral because everybody was like, "Oh, she should be fired. She should be fired." She was fired while she was still in midair without internet. Landed and she was like, "What just happened?" Stuff like that is stuff that happens now. It's one of those, if you are in a high profile position,
just hand your Twitter over to your publicist.
I mean, sometimes, yeah. If you're the type of person who you know runs your mouth, yeah, that's the better option. I'm looking at you. I mean,
you're looking at me? I didn't do it. I don't use Twitter anymore.
You, I mean, there's certain people in high public offices that we know,
yes,
that should kind of have their Twitter passwords taken away from them for the betterment of all.
Efforts have been made.
Yeah.
One thing that you have to keep in mind with any of these celebrities is that they might themselves not be the one responsible for the tweet. Now, they have to, if they're portraying that they are in control of their own social media account.
That's exactly the reason you have like a publicist do it, because then you can at any point throw them under the bus and be like, listen, this particular tweet was sent out by, you know, the intern or something. Yeah. That kid's been fired. Yeah.
That's why you have some people who are like, when it's actually me, I will sign my initials. Or like Tom Hanks, who will, when he does it, he signs like Hanks with an X. Or Obama, I know when he would do it, he would sign like B.O. or something at the end. Like there's people that do that.
Right. If you're portraying that it is you, but you still have a PR person doing it, then it's difficult to backtrack from that, though.
Well, in that situation, you have to. You can be like, well, some of my tweets are sent out by my publicist or something. And this particular one was, and... you know, I apologize to all my fans that this came out across your feed, but that person's been fired. Because that's what's worse, having people find out, oh, somebody else writes some of my tweets, or people thinking that you wrote something terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conventional thinking is in Hollywood, but that would be...
See, I know I'm under the assumption that 80% of every celebrity's tweets are written by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than 80%, but yeah, that's my assumption too.
I don't think it's that big of a deal for it to come out that other people are writing stuff for you.
No, I don't either. But in Hollywood, I don't know if that's the prevailing thought or not. I don't know. I'm not at that level where I need a PR person, nor would I ever want to be.
That's a lie. Starfy has an entire team that handles all of his social media.
Not true.
That's what they told you today.
Which would explain why I don't tweet, or the fact that I don't have a Facebook account, or
anything. I didn't say it was a good PR team.
Okay. I'm paying them for nothing. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yep. All right. More news. We're getting into some movie news now, and the Captain Marvel movie is coming soon, and we're getting our first look at Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Oh my God. So this week's Entertainment Weekly. Brie Larson in the Captain Marvel uniform on the cover looks amazing. The Entertainment Weekly has a article about this, and there's some more information. And then there's like 10 pictures, which I'm looking at them right now. So first we have Brie Larson, Captain Marvel. We have her as part of this group. Okay. How much of this do we want to mention?
I just want to mention that they did an incredible job doing CGI on the suit after she was rolling around in that green suit on set.
So we have some people on the set, including Jaman Hansu as Korath, who you might remember from Guardians of the Galaxy. Since this is a prequel, he is alive in this one. We have Gemma Chan as Minerva, who, by the way, is amazing in Crazy Rich Asians, which I recommend everybody go see. We have Lee Pace returning as Ronan the Accuser, also alive again. Jude Law is here, which that'll be fun. We have an appearance of the Skrulls. Ben Mendelsohn from Rogue One is going to be a Skrull. So that's going to be fun.
Rogue One. What is this movie that you speak of? Rogue One? I don't get
it. Good Star Wars movie.
I liked how this one is already a meme about how it looks like it's an album cover. Like they're ready to drop like the biggest R&B album and everything. Like I love how quickly this became a meme.
Right. And then we have a young Sam Jackson. Well, young looking again. I mean, between Sam being able to look basically any age he wants, depending on hair dye and how much of his beard he has grown in, and the power of CG. Right here, he looks kind of like he did in... there's a movie I'm thinking of from the late 90s, and he looks like he did in that movie. And he has two eyes, no eye patch. Looking forward to it. And we have Lashana Lynch as Maria Rambo. Maria Photon Rambo. We'll see what happens with that. I'm getting hype. I'm really excited. Guys, I'm so excited.
It's going to be a fun movie.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. So more Marvel movie news in the ongoing saga of the James Gunn firing. Michelle Yeoh has weighed in.
Yes, Michelle Yeoh has said she is horrified over James Gunn's firing. She was doing an interview for Crazy Rich Asians. Again, she's fantastic in it. Everyone go see it. And she said, "I was shocked, horrified that we can allow something like that to happen. You're talking about things that he said in the archives. If he had said it yesterday or today or something like this, then you could make a big fuss. Wait, why dig up something now? I don't understand it at all. It's so unnecessary. What good does it do?"
I completely agree.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Also, Dave Bautista said that he's considering not coming back for Guardians 3, but it was in a video and I couldn't find a good...
Yeah, we've talked about that on the podcast before.
Yeah, he seems like the person that has been most willing to walk away over this.
Yeah.
And I think that's all the news. Well, we got a few things.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we want to mention. And first of all, this was brought to my attention by Seth, which is actually Xandrax over in Geekville Radio, which is another podcast on another network. But he came to a chat on a different show that I was on. We were talking about the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on a hiatus for so long. And he mentioned, and I don't think we talked about it on this show before, that one of the reasons why they might have delayed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so long is they wanted to premiere it on the new Disney streaming service, which I can definitely see.
I don't think that's the case, because this ABC has the rights to this show right now. So I think it would have to continue airing on ABC.
It's all the same company. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not saying this is right or not. I'm just saying
it's not a big enough show, I think, to warrant that kind of move. Like, it's not going to bring in a huge audience to this streaming service. That's not already going to be coming for something else. I don't think you're going to lose people that are just like catching it on a random whatever night it's airing.
Right, but if they're trying to bulk up their content, which it needs to fill an entire streaming service, this could be a casualty in that. I could see it.
You know what they could do? They could put season 3 of Agent Carter on the streaming service.
They could.
I would actually pay for that.
Yep.
There you go. And the other story that we just want to mention is that as of this week, Spider-Man on the PS4 is out, and I've heard a lot of positive things about it, but I haven't actually seen any specific reviews. Have you ladies heard anything about Spider-Man?
One of the guys I work with said he was going to go buy a PlayStation 4 to play the game.
My Twitter feed right now is nothing but Spider-Man, people gushing about it and posting screen caps and, oh my God, this is this little detail I found and things like that. It looks so fun, and at some point I'll have to buy it, but right now I'm busy.
So the only PS4 I have in the house was the Star Wars PS4, which was the one with Darth Vader on it. If I had one with a Spider-Man on it, then maybe I would buy that too.
So you can only play a game if it's got the character already on the
station? No, it's the only reason to actually buy the console, because I just don't want a regular PS4. I want a themed PS4.
Oh, okay. So you can sit it on a shelf and not be able to see any of the themed parts of it.
Actually, I have mine promptly. I bought an actual display base for it so that I could see the lighted face of Darth Vader on it. So, yeah.
This is why he can afford to buy a PR team. Not a good PR team, but...
There you go. All right, that's it for the news. We're going to move on into the feedback.
We have a lot of feedback coming from Twitter. 084 declared they fixed everything.
Yeah, this is in response to hashtag Iron Fist season 2. They tagged us in with a bunch of other Marvel podcasts. And so we are not the only ones, obviously, who had problems with Iron Fist season 1. Again, it's kind of cool to see people being like, wow, guys, they actually didn't mess it up this time. Seeing people actually kind of excited about, wow, they did a good job with this season has me excited to watch it. Keep those reviews coming, guys. Make me feel bad for not having the time to watch it right now.
True. At Adonna Girl talked about MasterChef.
On MasterChef on Fox, Gordon Ramsay made 3 dishes in 45 minutes out of scraps. There was no cave involved.
And that basically is the reason why Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. exists, because there was a cave and there were some scraps in it.
Yeah. Made a podcast in a cave out of a box of scraps.
Which is a reference, for those of you that don't understand, to the original Iron Man 2008 movie.
We haven't watched in a while.
How weird is it that that movie is now 10 years old? I was thinking the other day about being in line, waiting for it, and being so excited. And
I didn't see that one in theaters.
Oh, I was so excited. Oh, I just, sudden sense memories of just being there in line. And I was like worried because I thought we were there early, but we were really far back in line. And I was worried we weren't going to get good seats, but we did. And then the movie was so good.
I'm trying to remember the first Marvel movie I saw in the theater. I know I saw Captain America, the First Avenger in the theater. I don't remember seeing the previous ones in the theater.
Yeah, I was listening to We Hate Movies talking Blade Trinity, and that got me thinking about it because, again, I watch all the Marvel movies. Except the most recent Fantastic Four. That's like the only one I haven't seen.
I still haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Really?
Oh, it's so good.
It is. It's a fun one. Yeah.
I know. It's not because I don't want to see it. I've just been extremely busy lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen your Instagram and everything. You're busy. Not being sarcastic. You are busy.
I know. Yes.
And Andy Minga retweeted Brie Larson.
Yes. So Brie Larson said, in response to, there was a New York Times article. It was Kelly Marie Tran talking about being driven offline by online harassment. But then she wrote an article about, you know, why she's like, no, this isn't acceptable. And the quote was, "This is what it is to be a woman in a society that has taught its daughters that we are worthy of love only if we are deemed attractive by its sons. This is the world I grew up in, but not the world I want to leave behind." And Annie Mingna said, "Wow, trolls on the internet being responsible for unlocking totally unjustified self-shame is just one of the worst aspects of the World Wide Web," and tagged us. And this is sort of what we talked about earlier with the whole allegory of the cave thing. People don't see the people on the other end of the screen as a real person, or people don't see somebody that's not them as a real person. And so they're terrible to those people. And this is something that needs to change. So y'all, if you see somebody being a terrible person, call them out on it. If you see somebody who's having a bad day, just, I don't know, help them to smile a little bit. It costs pretty much virtually nothing to be a good person. It costs virtually nothing to not be a bad person. And it costs slightly more than that to just be a good person.
There you go. There's your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. PSA for the day.
Don't hit, be a good person.
I always like Wheaton's Law. Don't be a dick.
It's always a good one.
That's the standard we need to live up to, everybody. Don't be a dick.
I wonder if Will's going to be on the new Picard series. That would be awesome.
He'll be on at least one episode.
They all got together for dinner, and he wasn't invited. The rest of the crew was there, so I don't know what's going to go on with that. We're talking about the new Star Trek series, Picard. Who knows what it's actually going to be called? Who knows if it's going to be a starship or not, or if it's going to be Picard playing Indiana Jones throughout the galaxy? Nobody knows. But there's a new Star Trek series. It's going to be Picard. We'll see how that turns out. In the meantime, ladies, I think it's time to get this podcast, wrap it up, and end it. So we're going to go ahead and, by unanimous request, we're going to ride a rickshaw through the desert on this one to get it out. If you made it this far into the podcast, just want to thank you very much for listening to it. We are having fun recording our therapy sessions as we make it through season 2 of Legion.
Thank you to everybody who's gotten a hold of us on Twitter. I'm absolutely loving seeing the reactions to Iron Fist. I'm really loving seeing everybody freaking out about Spider-Man. Guys, the screenshots are great. I love seeing the little Easter eggs y'all are finding. Just everything that makes y'all think of us. Thank you to Born to Eat Bacon for sending me some awesome paracord bracelets.
Oh, did you get the new Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. ones?
Yes. I've been having a really, really rough time of it lately. So it's like awesome highs and really low lows. So thank you so much.
Allegedly, there are agent, like he queued them up, like James Bond queued them up. Yeah. So they are not just decorative. They are very functional.
Oh, yeah. No, there's like hidden tech in them. It's cool. The only reason I'm not wearing the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. one right now is because like this one has glitter. I don't know if you can. Okay, there, it's on the camera. And this one, the Deadpool one, it's, I don't know, very bright. There's also like this super cool, very bright rainbow one. And I kind of just needed the bright colors today.
What you gotta do.
Yeah.
I would like to thank everyone that took the chance of watching Iron Fist season 2. So we didn't have to risk it if it was bad and let us know that it was good. So now we know we can go watch it.
It gives us a little bit of emphasis to actually get through all these series now from the Punisher on out. There's like 4 of them now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Punisher, Jessica Jones season 2, Luke Cage season 2, Iron Fist, and then a teaser for Daredevil season 3 came out. So we're going to have that one.
Have all 4 of those seasons come out this year?
Punisher was last fall.
Okay. It was at the end of the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone who does listen and interacts with us. We really appreciate it.
All right, and with that, it is time for us to go farewell and to play Spider-Man or to do work or to watch The Punisher, because that's the next thing up on the block. So until next time, I'm SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye, see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
That tickles. Oh, Jesus. That's horrifying.
I was cleaning out our storage area and that was in there. I was like, oh no, that's coming up in the office.
Yeah. SP had a Tickle Me Elmo. It was horrifying.
Well, we've got at least one more episode of Starling Tribune with Bebo in it. So Elmo is going to make an appearance.
Cracks me up. Scott's been playing Persona 5 and the voice of the main character is actually also the voice of Bebo.
I didn't even think about who voiced Bebo. Oh, I'm going to have to look that up now.
Yeah, he's actually like a really accomplished voice actor. But I was looking, I was like, yeah, this guy, just let me see, because I love looking up to see what voice actors have done. Surprise, surprise, this is now what I'm doing. But so I'm looking through the list and I'm like, oh, it's Bebo. So now every time like I see Bebo, I'm like, I sense something. And every time I see Joker, I'm like, Bebo won hugs.
I think Bebo is now firmly implanted in the DC universe.
Has to be.
Right? If not, should be.
That's the one I wanted to cross over. I want the Flash in the movie that they're doing. I want him to have like a little Bebo in there. Because he collects all this stuff. So I want him to have a Bebo. I think that would be amazing.
Okay. So two things. Michelle, do you have a because of?
Yes.
Okay. And then how are we going to get this one out?
Can we ride a rickshaw through the desert?
Yeah. I feel sorry for the guy pulling the rickshaw. At least he had a hat on. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Woo!
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.